Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as believers and worship and praise and honor you. Father, we thank you for those brave men and women who pay that ultimate sacrifice so that we could have the freedoms that we have in our world today. Father, we thank you for all of this in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship our Savior.
Please stand, let's worship.
Like never before.
Amen. This is that moment where we remember those people in our lives that don't know Jesus, and we lift them up in prayer. You know, if you don't have one, or if you can't find your little card, they are still available out there. We have a little My3. You can put three people's names on a piece of paper on that little sheet. You can stick it in your wallet. You can put it on your mirror. You can put it in your car, wherever it is. That will remind you daily to pray for those three people in your life that don't know Jesus. Because we know that God answers prayers. And we know that we're called to share the word of God to everywhere we go. We're called to be that example to the world around us and lift them up. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns as they were shackled and chained in jail. And after they themselves had the opportunities to escape, Paul cried out, "Don't harm yourself, because we're all here." And the jailer said, and he fell down and trembling and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul responds, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Our job is to pray for them, to share the gospel message each and every day, to lift them up, to be bold for the sake of Christ. I want us to take a moment now and to think of those three people in your life that don't know Jesus, because we know that God answers prayers. We've seen many people come to Christ already since we started this process. And let's lift them up inside of this moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we know there is many of people walking around lost. There's many people in our world and in our life that don't know you. Father, you have laid these individual people on our hearts to lift them up for your glory, so that they may come in relationship with you. We thank you for the way that you listen to our prayers, how you worked inside of our hearts, and Father, we ask now that you work inside of theirs, that you take these three and that you just do something new in them. Father, we pray that we may speak boldly, that we may proclaim your name no matter what situation we find ourselves in, knowing that you're the one who makes all things new. Lord, give us the words, give us the wisdom, give us the patience. And Lord, may we just represent you well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ,
church. I want to say good morning to everybody that is here at this time. I also want to say good morning to everyone who's joining us online and the radio. We are thankful for you as you're joining us as we gather together on this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who paid the ultimate price. But before we dive into the word this morning, before we dive into God's message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to join together with our brothers and sisters to worship and praise you. Father, I ask that this morning the words that are spoken are your words and not my own. Father, I pray if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. But Father, if it is from you, I ask that you penetrate even the hardest of hearts, and that we take these words seriously, and we allow ourselves to be transformed and be made new in you. Father, may you walk with us. May you talk with us. May we hear that still small whisper of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's different words, and there's big words, and there's little words that we hear often in the Christian language. And there are some that we like to hear, and there are some that kind of gets us pushback. Repentance is one of those words that is not always fun to hear. It's one of those practices that we don't always want to hear, and it's often thrown around in our Christian walk. We hear it from the time we are little until we are old. And when we hear that word repentance, it can bring about pushback within ourselves and resistance even within ourselves. When we use that word repentance in the world that we live in today, we may get some side-eyed glances wondering, where did you get the audacity to say that I needed to repent? It's not something that people really want to be told that they need to do. We live in a world that cheers on personal autonomy and self-expression. So when they hear that someone's life may require them to repent, when we hear that we may need to change the way that we have been living our lives, the world often screams foul inside of those moments and says, you're out of bounds. Yet as Christians, we need to recognize that this call to repentance is one of the parts of the gospel message. This call to repentance is something that we're called to do. If we look over to Acts in the second chapter, to be exact, we see Peter preaching. And those who heard the message asked him, what must we do to be saved? And what does Peter tell them? He says, they need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You see, that word repentance in the Greek derives from the verb meaning to radically change one's thinking. I want you to think about that for a moment, to radically change one's thinking. We no longer view the world in the same way that we used to view the world before we came to Jesus. That means things are different, that we don't continue to do the same things that we've always done. It's referring to an event in your life where you as an individual have gained a new understanding of life and of your behavior. You have felt convicted of your sins, and you've chosen to walk out a new life. You felt compelled to change your behavior and start a new relationship with God. The old is gone and the new has come. That you are no longer the same person that you were before. You see, when we repent and we turn to Jesus, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. You see, the things that we used to want to do, we should no longer want to do. That God renews our mind and our hearts, and he draws us to him, giving us that new nature, that new creation. And when someone has heard the gospel message, they have to make a choice inside of that moment. Do they choose Jesus or do they choose to reject him? There are some who will reject the draw that Jesus puts out. There are some that will reject the words and continue to live life in their own way. And this often happens because they're worried about how the world itself will perceive them. They're worried about what they may lose by saying yes to Jesus instead of looking at what they may gain inside of that moment. This morning, as we continue in our Life of Christ series, we're going to be over in the book of Mark, verses chapter 6, verses 14 through 29, for those who want to follow along. And in this passage this morning, we're going to come across a group of people who've been called into repentance, yet they chose to ignore the call. And they ended up lashing out to the one who called them to repentance. In the heart of the story is a king, a leader, who went on to have an affair and was called into repentance by John the Baptist. Though he had heard the message and the call, he refused to repent and turn from his old way of life. And what we see through these 15 verses is a view of deceitfulness and destruction that sin can bring about in our lives. We can see clearly how when we don't put our faith and confidence in God and instead worry about what the world thinks, it can take us places we've never thought we would go, causing us to do things that we never thought we would do. You see, our sin not only affects us, but affects the world around us. It affects the others in our lives. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we saw Jesus preparing his disciples to send them out and to call to people, to call the world around them to repentance. And we were over in Matthew chapter 10. Well, Mark chapter 6 also tells that story earlier on. And Jesus reminds them that there's a difficult task and that not everyone will receive the message. And there will be opposition, just as we see opposition in the passage today. Mark wraps up his account with the following two verses, in verses 12 and 13, where it says, "So they went out and preached that the people should repent, and they drove out many demons, anointing many sick people with oil, and he healed them." They did exactly what Jesus told them to go do. They went out and they did this, which leads us right into our passage this morning, starting with verse 14, which says, "King Herod heard about it because Jesus' name had become well known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why miracle powers are at work in him." First, I want to point out that this is not the same King Herod that was trying to have all the babies killed when Jesus was born, if you recall that. But this was his son. He was a ruler over the territories of Galilee and Perea, these areas in which Jesus and John the Baptist were doing their public ministries. Herod, just like many of the other people around, had heard about this Jesus guy, and he had questions of who is Jesus? Who is this man inside of this moment? Who is this person that is out preaching and teaching and drawing these large crowds together? Who is this person calling people to repent just as John the Baptist had done? Yet at this moment, it seemed like his followers were even greater than John's. More people were coming, and he was working these miracles that John never did. But Herod was wondering, who was this Jesus? You see, he had John the Baptist arrested all the way back in Mark chapter 1. At around the same time that it was beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And as we will see here in a little bit, Herod had no intentions of killing John. Yet due to Herod's sin and the choices he made, at the end, he ended up doing that very deed. And now when he's hearing about Jesus, he's starting to wonder, who is this Jesus? Could this be John the Baptist back from the dead? Could this be that same person? You know, some of this comes about because even though he was successful at silencing John the Baptist, he was able to shut him up from saying what he was saying. He was not able to silence that guilty conscience within him. He had never had that ability to do that. But Herod was not the only one trying to figure out who Jesus was at this time. Even the world around us and around them often were trying to figure out who Jesus is. It tells us in verse 15, that, but others said he's Elijah. Still others said he's a prophet, like one of the prophets from long ago. There seems to be this growing division about who Jesus was at that time. Was he Elijah, the ancient prophet who was taken up in heaven in a chariot of fire all the way back in 2 Kings? Or was he another prophet like Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jeremiah? Who was this Jesus? You know, I just like today, for many people, they're trying to figure out who is Jesus. And they don't want to agree about who he says he is. And just like today, the people back then were constantly trying to figure out how to explain Jesus away. They were trying to figure out who he was and have him fit in their mold of who they want him to be. You know, in the words of King Solomon, there is nothing new under the sun. You see, back then, it was just like today, where people are constantly trying to figure out who Jesus is. They try to fit him into this mold that they want Jesus to be. There are people today that say that Jesus was nothing but a great prophet or a radical political leader. There are people that say that Jesus was just a good man who did good things. And though the Bible tells us that he is the Son of God, that he himself is God, many people don't want to hear that message. So they continue to question, who is Jesus? The problem of many of the explanations that people come up with today and many of the explanations that the people came up with back then is that none of these actually take accounts for Jesus' miracle and his resurrection. You have to dismiss those to even have a chance. You know, in the end, when you try to explain away Jesus, it actually becomes harder to explain him away than it is to believe the truth about who he said he is. And if you believe the truth about who Jesus is, if you believe that he did the things that he did, if you believe that he went to the cross and rose 3 days later, then we need to believe the words that he spoke. We need to believe the life that he's called us to live. A transformed life. One where we choose God over the world. And I know that's not an easy one. This idea of a transformed life and repentance is not something that everyone wants to do. In fact, the idea of living a repentant life is something that often makes us uncomfortable. It requires us to do a deep dive into our lives and examining us and examine the different areas of our lives to see what needs to change, to see what areas of our lives are not lining up with the Word of God. And it's not always a comfortable process. When we come to Jesus, we have to acknowledge the fact that we are sinners. We have to acknowledge the fact that the life we've been living is not one that brings glory to God. It's not a life that lines up with the Word and how he's called us to live. We learn that when we live a transformed life, it'll cut against the grain of society. It'll cut across family and friends, asking us to be different than the world around us. Living a transformed life requires us to stand firm on the Word of God, even when it's not popular. Jesus warned his disciples that there's going to be choices that they're going to have to make, just as there's choices that you and I have to make in our lives. You know, King Herod was confronted by John the Baptist about the sin inside of his life, yet he didn't want to listen to what John had to say. So he tried to have John silenced, thinking that if he could only silence John, that he wouldn't have to worry any longer about the sin in his own life. He wouldn't be reminded about the mistakes that he had made. The problem is that guilt that we all feel within us is not because of what a person said. Instead of that guilt that is within us is because of what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. It's that work within us. You can do everything in the world to try to eliminate what you're doing is wrong. You can try to do everything in the world to keep from sin shining through. You know, we can go ahead and we can say, hey, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm not going to hold to it. You can stop going to church. You can stop associating with those who believe in God. You can do all of that, but there's one thing you still cannot change, and that is the fact of the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. God's still coming after you inside of that moment. And that's what Herod experienced inside of this moment when he kept hearing about Jesus. He knew the things he did was wrong. He'd been warned by John the Baptist, yet he had disposed of John, thinking that that would end all of his problems. But it didn't. So when he heard about what Jesus was saying and doing, he was trying to figure out who this Jesus was. It tells us in verse 16 that when Herod heard of it, he said, John, the one I beheaded, he's been raised. There would have been almost a fear-like moment inside of that for him. You see, his guilt was still there. It was still there with him. And it was almost out of panic that he was like, could this be John, the one who was beheaded? You see, this all happened because it tells us starting in verse 17, for Herod himself had given orders to arrest John and to chain him in prison on the account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he married her. Now, I need you guys to understand that Herodias was actually married to Herod's brother Philip. And according to Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, we know that he chased after her while she was still married to his brother. This wasn't the brother passed away and then he came along or anything like that. No, she was actively married to his brother and he pursued after her. Mind you, he was married too. That's a no-no. And he chased her while she was still married to his own brother. She had to divorce his brother, and he had to divorce his wife so that they could be married. And we know that's something that God does not want. We know it actually goes against God's perfect law and standards. And it goes against what God asks of us. And here was an interesting thing I didn't realize until I was studying this week. Herod himself actually would have been aware of this. He knew the Jewish laws. He knew that he was not to take his brother's wife to be his own. He knew the Old Testament. I didn't realize this. He was actually part Jewish, according to the historians. He would have been aware of this. But because of his position, most people never would have said a word to him about this. But John the Baptist, he's bold. He's willing to go where most won't go. And it tells us in verse 18, John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You see, John understood what Herod did and he knew it wasn't right. So he called him out both privately and publicly. And Herod was having none of this and he wanted to shut John up. Now, I don't think Herod cared so much about Jewish law. He may have known it, but I don't think he actually cared about that part. What he was concerned about is that if John continued to talk this way and talk about the adultery and incest that Herod was doing, that there would be a Jewish revolt against him, stripping him of his position and power. He knew what he did wasn't right. Yet here was John understanding who Herod was, understanding what it may cost him, but he chose to stand firm on the word of God and still approach Herod and tell him the truth. Well, Herod, not wanting everyone to know, decided to have John thrown in jail, hoping that this would squash everything he was saying. You know, often when sin is confronted, it makes people uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable. When somebody comes up to you and talks about the sin in your life, what do we often want to say? Ye without sin, cast the first stone, right? We come up with a whole bunch of excuses on why we don't want to hear it because it makes us uncomfortable inside of that moment. But you know, we have two choices at the moment when we become aware of the sin in our lives. We can lean into that moment and we can repent and seek our Heavenly Father, or we can choose to ignore it. And if we choose to ignore the sin in our lives, often what happens is it starts to fester inside of us and eats away within us. And it creates this anger and anxiety, and it becomes something that we actually dwell on, and it's something that we work out of fear on. And it often causes us to hold grudges against others. It causes us to build walls against others, especially those who called us out. And if we don't confront it, eventually we become like Herodias. And it tells us in verse 19 that Herodias held a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. You see, Herodias was so angry with John for calling them out, she held a grudge against him to the point that she wanted to have him killed. She believed if only they could kill John, all of the problems would be wiped away. If only they could kill John, she wouldn't have to deal with any of this sin in her life. She wouldn't have to deal with this remorse and stuff that was inside of her that she didn't want to let out. And the only thing that held her back from accomplishing this was her husband. And it tells us in verse 20 that because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing he was a righteous and holy man, when Herod heard him, he was very perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. You see, Herod understood that John was a man of God, that what he was saying was true and right. No, he didn't want to listen to John. He didn't want to acknowledge what John was saying, but Herod knew within himself that what was being said was honest and true. Oftentimes when we are confronted in our sin, we know if it's honest or true. We know that within ourselves. But the question is, will you acknowledge it? Will you acknowledge it to your Heavenly Father? Will you repent and turn from it? Because Herod didn't want to repent. You see, he still had fear of going against the man of God, but he didn't want to repent and do what he's being told to do. But he wanted to shut him up, but he didn't want to have him killed. You know, Herod was someone who had heard the truth of God, but he was still living in the world. You know, the Bible says that we cannot serve two masters, that we can't love God and the world at the same time, that we cannot serve God and the world at the same time because they go against each other. They stand for different things. And where our allegiance is will often direct the decisions that we make in life. If our allegiance is in God, then we will stand for things of God. But if our allegiance is in the world, we will stand for things of this world. We will allow the world to guide our decisions. We will allow the world to guide our lives and give us directions, even when it leads to destruction. Often leading us to make some poor choices. Herod here in this moment made a choice that pushed him further than he was ever planning on going. He pushed him to go against the man of God so that he could please the world around him. It tells us in verses 21 through 23 that an opportunity came on his birthday when Herod gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. When Herodias' own daughter came in and danced his stepdaughter, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom." I want you to think about this for a moment. Herod was not thinking with a clear head at this time. Instead, he had all the people around him, people that he wanted to impress, people that he wanted to have their favor. And so he decided to show off for his guests. by offering this young lady, his stepdaughter, whatever her heart desired. She could ask about anything in the world. So what does this young lady ask for? Well, such an offer like this, when you're a young lady, requires you to get some advice. Be careful where you get your advice. In verse 24 and 25, it says, she went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? Her mother responded, John the Baptist's head. And at once she hurried to the king and said, I want you to give me John the Baptist's head on a platter immediately. Her mom had such anger against John, and she saw this moment as an opportunity to do away with him, feeling as if this would lift the guilt that she had in her life. So she had her daughter ask for John's head. John was paying the price for standing firm on the word of God. Herodias allowed her anger to lead her to murder, and Herod was left with a choice that would break his heart. You know, it tells us in verse 26, although the king was deeply distressed because of his oaths and the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Herod knew the right thing would be to refuse this request at this time. There was absolutely no reason for John to die. There was really no reason for him to be in jail. But you see, he was worried. He was worried how his guests would have looked at him if he refused this young lady's request after he had made such a foolish oath in front of all these people. And this worried him. I do believe that he knew what was right and wrong inside of this moment. That's why he felt distressed. He knew what he should do. And he had a choice to make. Does he go with the world or does he go with God? Amen. Herod knew his consequences if he said no to the request, though. He would not only upset his wife and his stepdaughter, but if he said no to her request after he made that oath, the officials there would have looked at him as someone not to trust. Someone that they can't listen to his word. But he also knew that he should not kill John. But he feared the consequences of the world more than he feared the consequences of God. It tells us in verse 27 and 28 that the king immediately sent for an executioner and commanded him to bring John's head. So he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And when the girl gave it to her mother, John paid the price for someone else's sin. Just as our sins have consequences. It closes out in 29 and it says, when John's disciples heard about it, they came and removed his corpse and placed it in a tomb. They gave him a proper burial at the end. Herod fulfilled his oath and saved face with all of his guests. But he was left with fear over what he had done by killing John the Baptist. And nothing he did could get rid of that guilt that he had. When Jesus came onto the scene, he heard about all that he was doing, and the guilt got the best of him that he actually thought it was John the Baptist coming back from the dead. Herod is an example to all of us. He's an example of what happens when we ignore that still small voice within us, when we try to follow the world over God. We may be able to run for a while. We may be able to go about our lives for a while. But we'll never be able to stifle that still small voice within us. It's always going to be tugging away, calling us back to Jesus. The question is, are you willing to listen to it or to continue to ignore it? We all sin and fallen short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes. The difference is, how do we respond inside of that moment? Do we own up, take responsibility, seek forgiveness, or do we continue to live the life that we've always lived, walking away from him? I want to encourage you this morning, as we prepare to go in prayer, to search your hearts, examine your minds. You don't have to tell anybody else. But if there's something that you've been holding back from Jesus, if there's an area of your life that you need to acknowledge to him, do that. Spend some time with him. Jesus paid much too high a price to just ignore him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to study your word, to learn who you are in a greater way. Father, may we take the lessons that we learn to heart this morning. May we learn what it means to be someone that chases after you. Father, may we acknowledge the sins in our lives and repent and turn a new way. Father, we know we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and you've given us that Savior in your Son, Jesus. Peter told us all we need to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all of this in advance. We thank you for the way that you work. And may we be a light as we go out. In Jesus' name, amen.
You life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praises. Your breath in our lungs, as we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the dark.
Amen. Great are you, Lord. As you go out this week, may you just remember what the weekend is about. Remember those who paid that price. And may you be the hands and feet of Jesus as you walk around our community. And may you just make his light shine through you. God bless, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.